Welcome to the Vineyard Church Weekly Message Podcast. We hope that you will be encouraged and challenged today as you listen to a message from one of our speakers. Prepare your heart and get ready to receive a word from God today.
The most hated man in America, this is whose image will come up. Anybody recognize him? Martin Shkreli, that's his name, Martin Shkreli. And this is how Google describes him. Judging by social media, Martin Shkreli, the 32-year-old chief executive of Turing Pharmaceuticals, may be the most hated man in America right now. He's been called a morally bankrupt sociopath, a scumbag, a garbage monster, and everything that is wrong with capitalism. So that's pretty bad, right? And then British GQ magazine calls him the worst person of 2015. So what did this guy do, right? It's like, why is he so bad? Well, according to CNN, Shkreli's company raised the price on a drug called Daraprim from $13.50 a pill to $750 a pill overnight. He was quickly declared the most hated man in America, surpassing the dentist who killed Cecil the Lion. I mean, that's pretty bad, you know. You see, that drug is used by some AIDS and cancer patients to treat life-threatening infections. And if you do the math on it, he raised the price of that drug over 5,000%. 5,000%. So the world hates this guy. And I would say it's because of one thing, one characteristic, right? He's stingy, right? He's stingy. He's a stingy guy. And we just got through Christmas. He's not the only stingy guy out there, right? From the Christmas Carol, remember this guy? Ebenezer? Yeah. Nobody liked him at the beginning, right? Because he was stingy. And then as I was thinking about like my childhood and all the TV shows I watched as a kid, I remembered The Little House on the Prairie. And here's Mrs. Olson. I don't even know what she did, but in my mind, she's stingy, right? Or how about this guy? Yeah, that's me. Yeah. You know, I'm a pastor and stuff. I'm not supposed to be stingy, right? But honestly, here's a little peek into my heart, okay? So God's working on me because I haven't arrived on this thing yet. So one of the ways that God works on me with this is I'll go through like a drive-thru and God will kind of whisper to me, hey, you should pay for someone's behind you, right? And I'm like, oh, okay. So I was going to Starbucks, one of my favorite places, going through the drive-thru. I'm coming up to it, and I felt like God said, you should pay for the person's, you know, order behind you. And I said, okay. And I looked, and there's nobody behind me. I'm like, all right. And so I ordered really fast, you know. I want this real fast. I pulled up, and I'm looking. There's nobody, you know. I'm getting up to pay for my drink. And then I looked behind me, and then there was a car. And then another car pulled behind it, and it was a police officer's car. And of course, I got to pay for the police officer, so I had to pay for two, you know? So that's part of what God's working on me, is just to help me out a little bit in this area. Because you know what would be better than being stingy? It would be to be generous, right? To be generous. In fact, God has called us to be generous. Let's read a few scriptures. 1 Timothy chapter 6 says, command those who are rich in this present world not to be arrogant nor to put their hope in wealth. Command them to do good, to be rich in good deeds, and here it is, to be generous. And then in the book of Luke, John the Baptist is teaching what it means to be a disciple, and this is what he says. John answered, anyone who has two shirts should share with the one who has none. And then this last scripture was written by the Apostle Paul to the church in Corinth. It says, but since you excel in everything, in faith, in speech, in knowledge, in complete earnestness, and in the love we have kindled in you, see that you also excel in this grace of giving. See, Paul is calling us out. We're supposed to be generous. Now, the reality is, I don't think any one of us really wants to be known as being stingy, right? We would all like to be known as being a generous person. So now hold that thought, because today's message is going to be just a little bit different. Last fall, Kathy Smirella and I, we taught a class called Intentional Generosity, and the entire class was focused on helping us to become more generous people. And today we're going to teach a section of that class. Now, when we taught the class originally, there were three sections. The first section was being generous with our time. The second section was being generous with our money. All right, of course, you guys knew that was in there. But this third section was about being generous with our hearts. And that's the topic of today's message. And honestly, we both feel that it is the key, probably the most important part of being a generous person. Now, there are several scriptures that drive us, but I'm going to read one today, and you can turn there if you'd like. It's in the book of Mark, chapter 12, verse 30. And there are Bibles throughout the auditorium under the chairs, or you can use your smartphone if you'd like. And let me set this up. This is Jesus speaking, and he's in a debate with the teachers of the law, and he's just been asked, of all the commandments, what's the most important commandment? And then in verse 30, Jesus responds, "Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind and with all your strength. And the second is this, love your neighbor as yourself. There is no commandment greater than these." So today's message is titled Generosity, a Heartfelt Approach. And it's a message about being generous with our hearts. And Kathy and I are going to share two keys that can help us to be more generous with our hearts. So I'm going to invite Kathy to come on up here. She's going to share the first key. But as she comes up, let's pray together. All right, so let's pray. Father, we come to you and we recognize that really none of us want to be seen as stingy. But yet, in many of us, I know in my life, that's what comes naturally. So God, first of all, I want to pray for those of us that are doing pretty well with this generosity thing. And I pray that you would encourage them to do better and to even stretch further. But for those of us that this is, you know, kind of a difficult area, I just pray that you would give us some keys, Lord, that we can grow in this and be better. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, Kathy.
Hi, everybody. You're so nice to me. So I'm going to just get right into this and share with the first key to being generous with our hearts is that it requires an emotional investment. You can write that on your handout if you want. It requires an emotional investment. Our hearts gets engaged when we show compassion and care for those around us. At least it should. I think when most of us think about generosity, we think about sharing our stuff, sharing our money, helping the poor, the needy. And that's all about, Scripture's all about that. We're supposed to care for the poor. We're supposed to shelter the homeless. We're supposed to feed the hungry. A key verse in that is James 1:27. Religion that God, our Father, accepts as pure and faultless is this, to look after orphans and widows in their distress. So we're called to serve. We're called to take care of those in need. We're called to be generous with what we have and with ourselves, whether it is across the world or whether it's here in our own backyard. We do it because God tells us to do it. We're supposed to do it. And just so you know, if you don't know this, I direct outreach here at the church, and I think we should all be doing this. I'm all for this. I think you guys should be doing it too. But there comes a point in our generosity when it needs to transition from caring about those in need to caring for those in need. Let me explain that a little bit because, you know, grammar is tricky and prepositions. I had to actually look that up and decide that it was a preposition. So it's explained this way. If you care about a person, it means you like them. If you care for a person, it means you love them. So care about equals I like them. Care for equals I love them. So I've watched this change, this from liking to loving in our neighborhood outreach team. They serve at Village Green with Kids Club every Wednesday night. And I'm not sure what was in their hearts when they started, but after a year and a half of pouring into the kids at Village Green, I'm pretty confident they love them. They don't just like them because week after week they go into an overcrowded, crazy room with 30 to 40 kids. And they pour Jesus' love and their own into them. They truly care for them. And it's a great thing to watch. So I think what Jesus wants from us is not just to care about those in need. We need to care for them. We need to love them. We might care at first because we're trying to be obedient to what he says, and that is fine. But if we keep being obedient, if we keep doing what he says, I think he changes our hearts. We begin to love those that we serve. That verse that Clint read earlier in Mark 12:31, the last part of it, the second commandment is this, love your neighbor as yourself. Notice that Jesus didn't say like your neighbor as yourself. He said love, and I think he meant love. There's an emotional investment that God expects of us. We're supposed to serve people and we're supposed to love them. So I think you get that. But heart change happens when we're generous with ourselves. And that's all well and good. But here's the catch. Loving others, being generous with our hearts, is an emotional investment that can break our hearts too. People and situations are going to disappoint us. That's just a truth to that. The reality, and you can write this down, is when we are generous with our hearts, we may experience some pain. When we're generous with our hearts, we may experience some pain. Because investment in other people can cost us something. I know we know this. It's why when we've been hurt by a person or when someone really wounds us, we have trouble trusting again. At least I have trouble trusting again when someone has really wounded me. I'm guessing that that has happened to you too. Because being generous with our hearts can be painful. But God does not want us to have callous and hard hearts. In Ephesians 4, I've been reading that passage recently, and Paul is talking to new believers in that passage, and he's telling them how they should act as Christians. And verse 18 says, he's talking about those who are not believers, they are darkened in their understanding and separated from the life of God due to the hardening of their hearts. Have you experienced this? Like I have? Have you wanted to protect your heart from pain and hurt, and so you have decided that you're going to become indifferent or apathetic toward another person, or you're just going to be hard-hearted? Let me share a personal experience where this has been a huge temptation for me. As some of you know, I have been to South Sudan in Africa, where we have our Dreamland Children's Home, a number of times. What you might not know about me is I grew up hearing stories about Africa. The neighbors in our backyard had grown up in Africa most of their lives, and so I heard stories throughout my entire life about Africa, and it was Jesus and Africa, and they went together. And so when Vineyard approached me in 2009 about the possibility of going to South Sudan, I said yes right away. So this past fall, I returned for my sixth trip there, which just seems kind of crazy to me. And it's changed me, going to South Sudan this many times. But maybe not in the way that you would think. I love being with the children there. I love playing with them. I love seeing their smiles and hearing their laughter. I love watching them learn. I love the most that I get to be a part of changing lives for Jesus. And our church gets to be part of changing lives for children in South Sudan. So I gave my heart to the children of South Sudan pretty early on. But there was a time a couple years ago when I really, really wasn't sure that I would ever go back. It was when I learned that missions isn't all fun and games, that it can be heartbreaking. We do good work in South Sudan, but life is hard, the world is hard, and life in South Sudan can be super challenging. And I believe that God blesses our ministry there, but he doesn't take all the difficulties away. So I could give you a number of examples, but let me show you these children behind me. They are Daniel, David, Grace, and Pascalina. And a couple years ago when I met them, I fell in love with them. Can you blame me? They're so cute. But I invested in them. They were featured, as you can see, as the art for the graphics for Art for the Heart of Africa, a benefit we do every year. So their faces were everywhere around the church and in the community even. Their photos are up on my wall today in my house. But a couple of years ago when I went back, they were no longer at the Dreamland. And it's because life is hard in South Sudan. And they come from a pretty complicated and pretty corrupt family situation. I won't go into detail, but suffice it to say, they weren't at Dreamland anymore. And today, I don't exactly know where they are. And last I heard, they were suffering. And so for me, it breaks my heart because I invested in those children. It kills me that they're not there. It kills me that I don't know where they are, and I'm helpless to do anything about it. So I came back that year, and really, Clint remembers this. I was not at all sure I was going to go back to South Sudan ever because it would have been super easy at that moment to stop going, to stop caring. In fact, I wanted to protect my heart, to be indifferent and not be generous with my heart. If I didn't go back to South Sudan, my heart might hurt a little bit less. Let me stop right here and just say to everybody, don't do it. Don't do that. Don't walk down that path where your heart might become indifferent or where your heart might become hard, because God has a better way than that. Because when life wears on us, when life is hard, when we're tempted to shut people off because they hurt us, when we want to have a hard heart and turn away from painful and difficult things, I'm hoping that you can remember this. God doesn't. He doesn't do that. He deals with our sin. He deals with our running away from him. He deals with his heartbreak because of the things that we do all the time. He doesn't let his heart become calloused as far as we are concerned. He doesn't become indifferent to us. He keeps dealing with our junk. He keeps dealing with our sin and his heartbreak because he does not want any of us to perish. This verse in 2 Peter 3, I love this verse. It says, "But do not forget this one thing, dear friends. With the Lord, a day is like 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is like a day. The Lord is not slow in keeping his promises, as some understand slowness. Instead, he is patient with you, not wanting anyone to perish, but everyone to come to repentance." He's patient in his return to us, to earth, because he wants us to be saved. He's emotionally invested in us. He's willing to be hurt by us. He's willing to let his heart break for us. And if God can continue to love us over and over and over again, when we break his heart, we should try to do the same. And one more thing on God's generosity, his emotional investment in you and in me. He sent his son to earth to die on the cross for our sins. His son. That is the ultimate generosity. Okay, I want to share one bonus that comes from this emotional investment. You don't just get your heart broken for nothing. Your heart gets filled as you give it away. God blesses our hearts when we are generous to others. Look at these couple verses. Acts 20:35. It says, "It's more blessed to give than receive." And then in Proverbs 11:25, I love this verse. "A generous person will prosper, and whoever refreshes others will be refreshed." Even science knows that this is true, that generosity is literally good for our health. This quote cracks me up. Year after year, more and more studies are highlighting the benefits of generosity on both our physical and mental health. Not only does generosity reduce stress, support one's physical health, enhance one's sense of purpose, naturally fight depression, it is also shown to increase one's lifespan. So if nothing else, be generous because you want your life to last longer. How many of us have experienced this? The rush we get in doing something good for someone else. If you've participated in serving and caring for others, if you've gone on a mission trip, if you have been generous, you know that your heart gets filled to overflowing sometimes. I've heard people say that generosity does more for the person that is giving or serving than it does for the person that you are serving or giving to. I know that that is true for me. I'm guessing it's true for you too. Back to South Sudan just for a second. Though my heart gets a little bit broken there, it gets filled most of the time to overflowing. I get to see some children grow up. I get to see them study and learn. I get to see them love Jesus. And hopefully one day I'm going to see some of these children become South Sudan world changers for Jesus. But to do that, I have to be generous with my heart and allow it to be broken a little bit in order for it to be blessed. So you can write down this bonus. The reward of giving is far greater than anything we might sacrifice. The reward of giving is far greater than anything we might sacrifice. And one last thing, you cannot outgive God. As generous as you are, he is more generous. The reward he has in mind for you, whether it is here on earth or in heaven, is far greater than anything you can ask or imagine. So that's the first key to being generous with our heart. It requires an emotional investment. And Clint's going to come up and share the second key.
All right, thanks, Kathy. Okay, point number two, you can fill this in on your handout. Being generous with our hearts includes an eternal perspective, an eternal perspective. So in Kathy's first point, she shared the importance of caring for others, of letting our hearts actually reach out to others. That's so important. But when we begin to truly love others, to love them as ourselves, then we can't stop with caring for their immediate needs. We also need to care about their eternal need. We need to care about their eternal destination. Benjamin Franklin was quoted as saying, "The only two things that we can be certain of are death and taxes," right? Death and taxes. And yes, one day we all will die. But that's not the end of the story, praise God. You see, even after we die, we will all exist eternally. Daniel 12:2 says, "Multitudes who sleep," multitudes who die, "in the dust of the earth will awake, some to everlasting life, and others to shame and everlasting contempt." We will all live eternally either in heaven or in hell. So let's talk about heaven for just a second. Heaven is going to be an incredible place, right? We can't even imagine how awesome that's going to be. But in the same magnitude, but opposite in every way, hell is going to be horrible. It's a terrible place. And here's just a few scriptures that describe hell. Matthew chapter 13, this is Jesus speaking. He says, "The Son of Man will send out his angels, and they will weed out of his kingdom everything that causes sin and all who do evil. They will throw them into the blazing furnace where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth." Weeping and gnashing of teeth. And as I was thinking about that, I was thinking about the pain that you must feel to truly be gnashing your teeth. I mean, like that, that incredible pain. When I was in football, I broke my collarbone and I screamed a lot, but I didn't, you know, there wasn't that gnashing pain. So it's worse than that. And then Mark chapter 9 says, "And if your eye causes you to stumble, pluck it out. It is better for you to enter the kingdom of God with one eye than to have two eyes and be thrown into hell, where," get this, "the worms that eat them do not die." I mean, that's just gross. "And the fire is not quenched." So it goes on and on and on. This burning that goes on and worms. It's a horrible place. So as we stretch into this area of generosity, of actually caring for people, loving people, and we begin to really stretch in that, we cannot forget the importance of their eternal destination. And the reality is, tonight, if we know that Jesus Christ, if we know him as our personal Lord and Savior, we have been saved from this punishment of hell. We've been rescued. And if we already know how to avoid hell, then we can't keep this to ourselves. We need to be willing to share. It's part of being a generous person. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 5 and 7 say this, "For what we preach is not ourselves, but Jesus Christ as Lord." That's the key, Jesus Christ as Lord. And then in verse 7 it says, "But we have this treasure in jars of clay to show that this all-surpassing power is from God and not from us. You see, knowing Jesus as our personal Lord and Savior, that is this treasure. That's this treasure that we have. And then 1 Peter chapter 3 says, but in your hearts revere Christ as Lord. Always be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks you to give the reason for the hope that you have. So we're supposed to always be prepared to give a reason why we have hope, why we have hope for eternity. So does anyone remember the old Sunday school song? It goes like this, this little light of mine, I'm going to let it shine. Remember that? And then the second verse, though, says this, hide it under a bushel.
No!
That's right. I'm going to let it shine. Hide it under a, right? It says no. So that whole, I was thinking as I was putting this message together, I was thinking of that song. Because that cute little song that I learned, you know, when I was in kindergarten, is all about sharing our faith. It's about sharing why we have hope. So as we grow in this area of generosity, caring for someone's eternal destination has to be part of it. It has to be part of that. But how will they know if no one tells them? If we have this great, wonderful truth, this wonderful secret, if we have hope for eternity, for maybe even us and our families, how are our neighbors, our coworkers, how are they going to know if we don't share it, if we don't tell them? Now, I know it's hard to share your faith in this culture, and it seems like every year it gets increasingly more difficult to admit that you're a Christian. But people are going to hell every day. It's a terrible place. And we have to be willing to risk our reputation for their eternal destination. So here's a final question to ask yourself. When it comes to my faith, am I letting my light shine? Am I letting my light shine? Now, if you want to learn more on how to share your faith, this spring we're offering a workshop called Leading People to Jesus, and we're going to explain the process of leading people to Christ. And then in May, we're offering a four-week-long fit class called Just Walk Across the Room, and it's about relational evangelism. But you don't have to wait till this spring to make a difference in somebody's eternity. The real easy way here at the Vineyard is just invite them to church. Tell them that you go to church. You know, tell them that you're a Christian and say, hey, you want to come? There's five services to choose from, right? Saturday, Sunday. We have a lot of opportunities. So that's a great way to get started on making a difference for others. All right, as we move into ministry time, I'm going to invite Kathy to come on up here. And as she comes up, just a reminder that we do have the prayer team that's here that will pray with you on anything that you have going on, whether you need a job or if you have anything else going on. Just sit in the front row over here, and the prayer team will pray with you. But Kathy has a point that she wants to make.
As Clint and I were talking and kind of praying about this message and thinking about ministry time, over here in this part of the stage, we wanted to pray for people. If you have struggled with being a hard-hearted person or with indifference or something like that, I just really would love to pray for you. If someone has hurt you and you have just decided you're going to shut them off, or you tried to help somebody and you got taken advantage of, and you just have been done with being generous to people, either with your heart, with anything, then we want to pray for you over here. I want to pray for you over here. The other thing, when Clint and I were talking about this week, if you try to be generous with sharing your testimony and it hasn't gone well, and you're just done because it didn't go well the first or second or third time, I want you to know, when I was in high school, I tried sitting on the piano bench at home. I remember this so distinctly. In high school, it was a long time ago. That I tried to share Jesus with my friend Linda Porter, and it was terrible. I did a terrible job. I figured I sent her far, far away from Jesus. I did that day, for sure. And it was a long time before I could share Jesus with someone again. And so if that is your kind of situation, just so you know, I met Linda like 20 years later, and she had come to Jesus, so that's pretty cool. It didn't have anything to do with me. But if that's happened in your life, and you want to be done with that, and you want to be willing to be open with your heart and share, start doing that again, then I want to pray for you guys over here.
All right. And then just real quick, I want to share, when I was 8 years old, I was sitting in a message like this, and I was sitting at Locust Grove Mennonite Church, and the pastor stood up, and he preached a message about hell. You know, it was one of those hell's fire and brimstone kind of messages. And I remember as an eight-year-old walking out to the car and going, I don't want to go to hell. I mean, that was a scary place for me to be. And so I said something to my parents. I'm like, hey, I don't want to go to hell. How do I not go to hell? And so they set up an appointment with me and Pastor Jim Carpenter. And Jim lovingly shared with me the path of salvation. And I walked out of his office that day with the assurance that I was going to be in heaven one day, you know, all those years ago. And so tonight, if you were sitting here and you were thinking, you know, I'm not 100% sure that I'm going to end up in heaven one day, I want to invite you to come on up. Let me just pray with you, because you can walk out of here tonight with the assurance that you're going to heaven. And there may be somebody here who knows beyond a shadow of a doubt that if you died tonight, you were going to go to hell. And you don't want that. I'd also want to invite you to come on up. Just be right here in the center stage. So if you want assurance that you're going to be in heaven one day and you just don't have that today, I'd invite you to come on up during our final prayer. But if you would stand up, let me pray. All right, so Father, we come to you and we just thank you that you want us to be known as being generous with our hearts in many different ways, God. And so, Lord, first of all, I want to just pray for those that have struggled with being hard-hearted. You know, life has been tough for them. I pray, God, that they would respond tonight and let Kathy pray for them, Father, so that they can try again to be generous. And Father, I also want to pray for anyone here tonight that just doesn't have the assurance of salvation, doesn't know beyond a shadow of a doubt that they'll end up in heaven one day. And I pray, God, that you give them the courage to come up and to receive salvation tonight. And we do come against the enemy that likes to lie to us and whisper in our ears and confuse us. And we just bind the enemy and command him to be silent in Jesus' name tonight. And I pray for the freedom to respond to flow in this place. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen.
Thanks for listening to the Vineyard Church Weekly Message Podcast. We pray that you were impacted by this message. God bless, and see you next time.